Morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? It's a little damp out there, but God is good. He is faithful, even when it is a little bit damp. So today we're going to start off with something probably a little different than you're expecting. I'm going to tell you that I am a hobby enthusiast, and that's something that I have been my entire life. I've had different seasons for different hobbies, and have always just found loads of joy and excitement in digging into new hobbies. So much so that in 2007, I started a hobby store that so that I could share my excitement and enthusiasm about hobbies with others. Whenever I do a hobby, I dig in deep. And maybe some of you are also hobby enthusiasts, and I heard at least one. I hear a couple more. And so for me, when I get into a hobby, I will often spend more time researching the hobby than I do actually doing the hobby. It's pretty wild. I'll spend hours and hours and hours on YouTube watching everything from professionals to amateurs in the hobby do their thing, and why they do their thing, and what the tools that they use for their hobby, and then I go and buy those things so that I can then do the hobby with the same amount of vigor and excellence. I'm going to look at the camera for a second because I've been told I stink at doing that, so hello everybody online. I am here with you as well. So I love my stuff, and you know what? I think hobbies are great. I think they're an amazing opportunity for us to feel God's blessing and enjoyment in the blessings that He's given us. When I'm doing my hobbies, I often spend time in prayer or really relishing in how good God is, the beauty of the world that He's created, the amazing bodies that He's given us, and the ability of the human body. So I love my stuff, and I love my hobbies. And that can be a really good thing, but sometimes our stuff can also get in the way. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Last week, when Glenn was sharing the message, kind of his overarching theme, I believe, I could be wrong, he can correct me later, but was following Jesus is not easy, but it's always worth it. Following Jesus is not easy, but it's always worth it. Can you say that with me? Following Jesus is not always easy, but it's always worth it. So what I want to ask you today, are you up for a little bit of a challenge? That does not sound like you are. How about the people online? Are you up for a little bit of a challenge? Type in the comment section below, I'm up for a challenge. We'll try the congregation here again. Are you up for a little challenge today?
Yes,
yes you are, and so am I. I love a good challenge. And so I'm going to look at part of the following Jesus is not always easy piece, and the fact that there are challenges that come that are not always easy, but I can assure you that they are always worth it. They are always worth it. So let's look at our text for today. We're in Luke 9, 1 through 6. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure disease. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. God, I just pray that you would be teaching us from your word today. Lord, that you would be delivering a challenge, an encouragement, a message for us to apply into our life ministries as we walk through this gospel study of Luke, as we look at your ministry and your footsteps, God, that we would eagerly be looking to step in those footsteps and follow with zeal after you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So to the something of the sermon today, the title of the sermon today is Traveling Light. Traveling Light. And for me, there's kind of two pieces to that. There's two points. And the first point, I think, is reducing our distractions and focusing our dependence on Jesus. Okay, so reducing our distractions and focusing our dependence on Jesus. I talked a lot about my hobbies and the things that I enjoy and my love of the stuff. But stuff can also be a burden. When the stuff that we own stops being something that we're enjoying for the glory of God and starts to own us, that's when it becomes a problem. And when I was thinking about this, I thought about the rich young ruler. Maybe some of you are familiar. It's later on in Luke, around chapter 18, but there's a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus, and he's having a conversation about what it looks like to be part of the kingdom and be a disciple. And at some point in the conversation, Jesus gets to this point. It's chapter 18, verse 22 and 23. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. I don't think the lesson of this interaction is that you need to go and sell your house and all your things and get rid of everything, give it to the poor, and then go sleep on someone else's doorstep. But I think that Jesus knew when interacting with this young ruler that his relationship with his stuff was not healthy. And instead of that stuff being an abundance that could overflow and bless and encourage and build up others, it was something that he was bound to. We don't want to be bound to our stuff. I think when we hear this a lot of times, it's easy to look at it and go, I'm not Bill Gates. I'm not Jeff Bezos. I'm not rich. As I thought about that, I thought of a few years back, a good close friend of mine and probably many others here, Dave Coles, was here giving a message. And something that Dave said to us that day really stuck with me, because he looked at us and he said, "You are rich. You are rich." And I'm not talking about just a richness that we have because of the abundance that God gives us. Yes, certainly, I pray that we all are rich in that way. But he was saying, from a material standpoint, we are all rich. If you have a roof over your head, you don't have to worry about where your next meal's coming from. If you have a cell phone, if you drove here in a car maybe, then you're in the top 5 to 10% of rich people in the world. So when Jesus is talking to the rich, he's talking to us. It's a bit challenging, yeah? Paul also had something to say about this. When he was writing to Timothy, this is in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, Paul writes this. "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." And this echoes what Jesus had said to the rich young ruler: store up riches, treasures in heaven, the things that really matter. And it doesn't mean that those things that we have, those things that we enjoy, aren't great things. But what's your relationship with those things? Are you acting out of an abundance to bless and encourage and to share and to bless others? Are you open and looking at how others are doing? Jesus says this in Luke 12:15, "Watch out Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. Your life doesn't consist of an abundance of your stuff. That nice new car, or that nice new toy, or that nice new bike, if you're me. That's not what defines you. That's not what defines you. Store up riches in heaven. This brings me to the travel light point two. So travel light point one, we're going to go back, reduce your distractions, and focus your dependence on Jesus. Not on your stuff, but on Jesus. Travel light point two is maximize your potential. This one might be biased because it actually falls right in line with my most recent hobby, which might mean that I'm just seeing this because I want to see it. I think not, but you can be the judge of that. So, my most recent hobby, the most recent thing that I'm really excited about is endurance sports. Specifically triathlon, but endurance sports. And in endurance sports, in triathlon, it's so much of it is about traveling light. Whenever there's improvements to equipment, guess what? They get lighter. Crazy. Shoes get lighter, bikes get lighter, other gear gets lighter. Nutrition is getting reduced, whereas you might, you know, at some point in time might have had to haul around, you know, a sub that you're going to eat on your bike. Good luck with that. Now they've got these nice little packets that weigh almost nothing. They've got loads of carbohydrates. Yeah, you're picturing over here. Ben's picturing me eating a sub while riding a bike. Thanks, Ben. It gets lighter and lighter. And the goal is that you have these athletes. You've got professional athletes or amateur athletes, and everybody's body has an amount of potential power that you can produce based on what you're doing in your life. You can produce a certain amount of power. And so what these athletes do is they make themselves more aerodynamic on the equipment that they have, and they reduce how heavy it is so that they are achieving the maximum potential power output for their event. They don't store up a whole bunch of extra nutrition. They know exactly how much nutrition they need. They know exactly when they're going to take it during their event so that they aren't carrying extra stuff. I think this applies particularly to this scripture when God's engaging with the 12. He also engages in Luke 10 with 72, sending them out, and he gives them the same spiel, don't bring extra stuff. But I think it has to do with our life ministries too. With Jesus, when he's talking to the disciples, he's saying, travel light. There was a window of time where Jesus needed these things to happen. He knew where he was going. He was headed to Jerusalem. He was headed to the cross. He knew that was coming. And he had a window where there were things to be done. And he said, travel light. I'm going to provide. You will have what you need. Bring exactly what you need. And that's, for them, was just the clothes on their back and start walking. I'll provide what you need. But they're traveling light because they're maximizing their potential. They can get from one town to the next a lot faster if they're not carrying this massive backpack of stuff. Why I think this applies to our life ministries is because how often do we have opportunities come up where we have a chance to go and minister, or we have a person that we can share Jesus with, or we see an opportunity to bless somebody, and we go, I don't have the right stuff. I need to pack more. I'm not ready. I would argue you are ready. What Jesus wanted from the disciples, what he wanted from the 72 that he sent out in their season of life ministry was two things. Willingness to go do it. That's mostly on them. And then he gave them his power. Jesus' power, which we have. So I say two things, it's really one. Willingness. When you strip it all back, there's loads of stuff that we can get bogged down with or think that we're not ready. But ultimately, if you're like, Lord, I want to go, send me, you're ready. You're ready. He'll equip you. Look for guidance and support. And so in maximizing our potential, we're reducing the requirements of that potential. You see? Because Jesus is going to do the work. That's the glorious piece of God is going to do the work. The glorious piece of ministry with God is that he's like, the harvest fields are white. I just need workers for the harvest. You don't have to have a load of skills. You just got to go out and be willing. Say, here I am, send me, and he will do the work. Travel light. So that's my point two, maximize your potential. At this point, I'm going to take a little tangent, but I think it's important, and hopefully you'll see why. If you don't, well, you know, I tried. So, in this text, we have six verses, and in those six verses, every time that it mentions doing something spiritual for people, it mentions doing something physical for people. Isn't that interesting? Let's look at the text again. Sorry, there's no heads up for the guys in the back. You might not see it up here, but they're pretty quick. So we'll see. In verse 1 in the Luke 9, 1 through 6, it says, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure disease. Spiritual, physical. In the very next verse, he says, he sent them out to proclaim kingdom, the kingdom of God, spiritual, and to heal. Physical. And at the end of the text, verse 6, it says, they departed and they went to villages preaching the gospel, spiritual, and doing what? Healing everywhere. And so as they're going through, they're providing not only for spiritual, but physical needs. Why is this important? Well, because I can stand up here and say a whole bunch of things, and Lord willing, they're really good. I'm not certain of that, but that's what I'm praying for, that the things that I'm saying to you today are really encouraging and uplifting and that God is teaching you something that maybe you hold on to. But I know from my own life experience, when I look back on my childhood, on my young adult life, many of the instances that stand out to me of amazing encounters with other humans were when they were engaging with my physical, mental, emotional needs. So I can say a lot of nice words, but if I am not providing for your physical, emotional, or mental needs in some level, how much weight do those words have? A specific example from my childhood is my father. Hey, Dad, he's watching. I was a runner, and he was really excited that I was a runner. He always had a lot of really great wisdom. He'd helped my older brother. He'd been involved in, like, athletics for his whole life, and he had a lot of great words of wisdom to share with me on how to run and things that I could do to improve in running and loads of wonderful words. And you want to know what? I don't remember any of them. Sorry, Dad. Not a one. But you know what I do remember? My dad came to every track meet that I can remember. He was always there. When I was about to go out and run, he'd pray with me. He'd encourage me. He'd tell me I could do it. He might provide me with water, because my dad loves people and wants to tangibly love people in his actions. Most of the athletes in our section knew my dad because he would usually hug them at the track meets. He'd also go up sometimes before my events, and you'd have all the competitors, you know, there might be 10 to 12 of us, and he'd go through, he'd ask people how they were doing. Know what he'd do next? He'd say, guys, let's circle up and pray. And they were really excited to do that. Crazy. But you want to know why they were really excited? Because they knew my dad loved them. They knew my dad loved them. And so when he said, I want to pray for you. They didn't go, that's a little weird. They went, oh, this guy loves me, and if he wants to say some nice words, I'll listen. So we'd circle up, and we'd pray. They love my dad. This reminds me of another story I read recently from, it's General Booth. And he was ministering to people in need, and some other people who were missionaries were criticizing him because he was caring for the poor, he was providing food, and they were like, you just need to bring the simple gospel, you are wasting your time. Well, I know what General Booth said to them. He said this, and I found this very powerful. It made me cry when I read it the first time. I'm going to try not to cry right now. It is impossible to comfort men's hearts with the love of God when their feet are perishing with cold. He knew the needs of the people, and he was meeting those needs. And it was opening doors that he could bring that spiritual peace. It was providing for their physical needs, and he was providing for their spiritual needs. And I know that times right now are not the same as when General Booth was helping people. We don't see people starving in the cold out there. But I can tell you, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people, and there are a lot of people out there perishing in the cold. And just because it doesn't look the same doesn't mean it isn't happening. Are your eyes open? Are you willing? Are you looking for the needs of others emotionally and physically, and how you can provide for those needs as well as spiritual? Aaron, how is this all connected? That's a great question. You've talked about a bunch of stuff, man. Like, you've talked about reducing distractions and focusing a dependence on Jesus. You've talked about maximizing potential, and you've talked about caring for people's physical needs. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of pieces. And this is a verse that came to mind that I felt wrapped this all together really nicely. In Ecclesiastes 4:6, it says this: better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Well, how does that wrap it up? Let me tell you a story. So I spoke about hobbies. I spoke about my store. I invested a lot of time and energy into it. And I think that in many ways, I was honoring God in my actions and running this business or doing my level best. Some number of years ago, things got really, really hard, and I was doing everything I could, running every which way to get momentum, to get things moving, to build anticipation and excitement and reestablish community and encourage things so that my business could thrive. As I found myself striving and striving to make this happen, I found that I was toiling and chasing after the wind, because in all of it, my hands were full of stuff. I was so consumed by my business and my stuff that I didn't have the freedom to thrive. I was toiling and I was tormented, and it was impacting every aspect of my life, my family, my ministry, the people I related with. I didn't have the depth. I couldn't hear or listen well. I couldn't share well because my mind was so consumed by this stuff that I was crippled on every front. And at some point, as I'm holding this stuff and I'm raging against what was happening, I said, God, why? Why is this happening? I've given my whole life to you. I've given everything to you. Everything I do is for you. Why do I feel this way? And he said, you haven't given me your business. You haven't given me your stuff. It wasn't easy, but boy, was it worth it. Boy, was it worth it. This thing that I thought that I was stewarding well was controlling my life and was tearing me down on every side. And when I let it go, man, I was free. God gives us amazing freedom when we lean on Him. And not only that, when I went from holding things in like this to holding it in one hand with tranquility, guess what I can do? I can help a brother or sister up that needs it. I can feed the poor out of the abundance of what I have. I can give things to those who need it because I'm not stuck here. Let's invite up the worship team, and I'm going to pray for us today. Again, hopefully this is encouraging. Hopefully. But the real take home is what you do, how you interact, how you see people, and how you see their needs. Keeping those eyes open and looking for ways that you can bless others and encourage others out of our abundance. Because you have everything you need. You have Jesus, and He is everything you need. And if you're willing, you can do amazing things for His glory, and so can I. So let's pray for that today. Lord God, I thank You for today. I thank You for all You are doing here in this body. God, I thank You for the example that You set through Scripture. Lord, I just pray that You would be allowing us to travel light like the disciples, that we would have an eagerness, a willingness to serve You as Lord, to see You glorified in our actions, God. God, we pray for those around us. We pray for those that are perishing in the cold, whether it's emotional or physical needs, Lord, that You would have our eyes be opened and that we would see them with clarity. Maybe we don't even have connections with people, but we can just see the hurt and the need. And God, that we would be willing and ready to bless those people out of our abundance because we have what we need. You are all we need. Lord, I pray that You would bless us as we go into this time of worship. God, that we would just lay ourselves down at the foot of Your cross and just accept the fact that we don't need to carry it all, that we can travel light, that we can be satisfied in who You are and what You've done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.